Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, that's pound 529, from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is the Lombardi Line. I am Dave Ross here at Circus Sports, fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. And Michael Lombardi is where all the action is happening right now on a Monday. Michael, I hope people are listening and watching in the last hour, because you said, I can paraphrase, you know, if you like the Buccaneers against the Giants laying the three, you better grab the threes now because that number is probably going to hit four. Well, it's already hit 4.5 with breaking news that we have in the program today. Daniel Jones has been benched for this game by Brian Daboll here, and they're going to go to Tommy DeVito is going to be the starter.
Yeah.
Michael, this already shoots up to 4.5 with this news that's just coming out of your area there. What do you make of it, and where do you think this, where does this emanate from? Is it just about performance or other things behind the scenes?
Well, it's salary cap. It has to. Look, performance and cap, I don't care what Joe Shane says. You know, everything in the NFL is about business, and they can't expose $25 million out there for next year and lock themselves in. It would be a stupid business decision. It would be. The stupid business decision was giving them this contract, which I screamed they should never do 2 years ago, but they never listened to me. The move to Tommy DeVito. Now, here's what's going to be interesting. Two things. One, who's the backup quarterback? Is it going to be Drew Locke? Are they going to deactivate the Daniel Jones? Because you don't want to put him in as the number two and get him hurt there. So to me, all signs point to Drew Locke being the second string quarterback. Now, second point that you have to make is you gave Drew Locke $5 million. You said you had no money. You had no money for Saquon Barkley, who then went to your rival, who then went down the street, and you have to watch him have an MVP-like season. You gave $5 million to Drew Locke. If you don't sign Drew Locke, you make DeVito the number two, and you sign somebody else. I don't know who. Somebody else. You save the $5 million and give it to Saquon Barkley. Maybe that's the right thing to do.
Oh.
Right? But this is why the Giants are a mess. They are a complete mess. They have no ability to see the future. They keep misevaluating their own players. And it started with Daniel Jones. I took more crap, Dave, from Carl Banks, from all the Giant blogs about when I made the statement 2 years ago, last year, I think it was, whenever they gave Joe, I said, this is the disease of me. They're fooling themselves into thinking that they paid the wrong guy, and it ruined their locker room, and they haven't recovered from it. Of course, nobody from the Giants said I'm right, and I'm completely right. Completely right. I've been right about them all along. They can't evaluate their own team. And this move to Tommy DeVito is, what are we doing here? Like, seriously, what are we doing here? Oh, he's a good kid. He'll play hard. We'll have cold cuts. We'll have Tommy Cutlets in the locker room. Great. This is the quarterback of your future? Are you kidding me? You got no offensive line. And he knows the Daboll system. Look, I think to me what this is, we're going to get the first pick overall in the draft. You just watch us.
By the way, I remember when they were coming at you, and I remember texting you like, Michael, you stand your ground. You know exactly what you're talking about. And you just made such a salient point that I don't think most people will grasp, which is the decision to get a backup quarterback who is not going to be the starter when you bench the starter might have cost you Saquon Barkley. I mean, those are the tentacles.
It did cost you. You gave him $5 million. You allocated. Oh. You're looking for money, right? You're in the couch looking for coins everywhere, right? You're looking for that quarter somewhere. I know I left it in there. Remember a kid when you found a quarter in the couch? Oh, my God. Now I can go get some more baseball cards, right? I mean, that's what you're looking for. And here you go ahead and you give him $5 million because somebody in the building liked Drew Locke. There was no reason to give it. Who are you going to beat out for Drew Locke? You could have signed somebody else because whoever you signed isn't good enough. That's the point. You don't ever want to overpay for mediocrity. Mm. You want to overpay for great, right? You can't overpay for greatness. But what happens is the Giants make a living overpaying for mediocrity. I even throw Brian Burns in this. Brian Burns is a good player. Is he worth that contract? Absolutely not. Does he tilt the field? No chance, right? No way. You don't go in the game saying, oh, my God, how are we going to block him? You know he's a good player. You say, okay, we got to handle him. But to go ahead and throw away that contract, it's just continual bad decision-making by the Giants, right? I mean, poor John Mara is like, I'm going to have a hard time sleeping if he signs with the Eagles. Well, John, you probably haven't slept in 7 months.
By the way, you know who has the worst record in the entire NFC? Not the Panthers. It's the New York Giants. Wow.
Of course they do. They're poorly run. Worst. They have no belief. Look, this was a team that taught me about philosophy, that taught Belichick about what it takes. It's about, you know, we had the other day, we had Eric Musselman on the Daily Coach. We had a podcast on the Daily Coach, and we were asking him about the great Hubie Brown. Mm. And when he was a young coach, he didn't know Hubie. Hubie hired him to become an assistant on some Olympic team that they were building or some USA team or something. And Hubie basically said to Musselman, who he didn't know, here's what I want in each position on the court. I want this, I want that, and I want that. And he defined every single role of every small forward, power forward, center, point guard, all that, right? And Musselman came back to him and said, well, I think I have this guy that can do that. No, did you not understand what I said? This is what I want. I want these traits at these positions. That's where the Giants built their franchise into this incredible dominating team back in the 80s, right? They understood that better than anybody. And now they don't. Now they have no idea. They're going to wait for, oh, we're going to bring in this defensive coordinator because he's going to tell us what he wants. They built their career on defining who they were, not waiting for someone else to define what they wanted to do. And now they're all messed up.
That is the breaking news of the morning. Tommy DeVito will get the start against the Buccaneers, which has changed that number. We'll keep an eye on it, but it's up to the Buccaneers on the road, 4.5 next Sunday. Michael, we have a game tonight, and it does have Circa Survivor implications. 4 went down with the Niners yesterday. 2 went down with the Browns and New Orleans. 99 entries remain. 5 are on the Texans tonight against the Cowboys. And they're laying 7 in Dallas, total of 41. Very quickly on this, what do you make of it? We'll get to it again a little bit in detail later on this hour. But Cowboys struggling with no Dak Prescott. He's done for the year. Cooper Rush gets a start. But the Texans have struggled as well. Do you think these 5 Texans entries are safe tonight?
Well, I think they should be. Look, the Texans got to play good. They have to play to a different standard, right? Here are the Cowboys. I mean, that line went to 7.5. It's come back to 7. Mm-hmm. I don't know how the Cowboys score. I don't know how the Cowboys handle the speed and the athleticism of this front for the Houston Texans. I think that'll be a huge problem for their offense because Houston is very good at penetrating. They're very good at being disruptive. They're very good at creating negative plays. And if you create a negative play against this Cowboy offense, how are they going to convert a third down? Second and 15, you might as well punt. I don't see how they're going to get 15. It's really going to be hard. They might put one drive together.
Yeah.
But I think if they get to 10 or 14 points, that's a lot of points. And I think C.J. Stroud, I think one of the untold secrets about this National Football League 2024 is C.J. Stroud hasn't played as well as he did last year. There's right. No denying it. And this Texan offense hasn't really developed and grown to the point. Now, a lot of that is because of the offensive line. This offensive line has not played good at all. They're going to have a hard time blocking Micah Parsons. And if they turn the ball over, then you could lose your ticket. But I got to believe on Monday Night Football, the Texans will play much better. And look, the Cowboys haven't won a home game. They've been destroyed at home by every team. This is about Houston playing to their level, not playing to Dallas's level.
Talk about Doug Peterson in Jacksonville. I'm a big Mike McCarthy truther. I'm going to stand in the gap for Mike. But this could be a scenario where it looks bad in prime time, again, even though you got backups. We'll find out if that has an effect on the Cowboys at the end of the year. I don't think they'll make any changes here during the year down there in Big D. Michael, we broke down the game of the week all last week between the Bills and the Chiefs, and it delivered. Let's get to our game this week.
This is the Lombardi Line Game of the Week, presented by Lowe's. Here's Michael Lombardi.
Very interesting, Michael, because the Niners are going to be going to Green Bay. They're getting 1.5, a high total there of 47.5. What's your initial reaction to that line? And, you know, the Packers don't cover the number, but they get the win. Niners, not only do they not cover the number, they lose outright, as you mentioned, kind of giving up another fourth quarter lead. What about the Niners on the road? I don't want to say the season's on the line, but it's a rather important game if they've got any visions of getting back to the postseason.
And they have Buffalo the next week, so it doesn't get any easier, right? They have two road games in a row, one into Green Bay, one into Buffalo, and they're going to have to play better. Look, I think the problem you have in San Francisco is they're just not healthy. They have one outside receiver in Jennings. They're trying to get Debo the ball, but it's been very difficult. He hasn't made any of those yards after the catch plays that we're typically seeing from him. So to me, the challenge is going to be, can this Green Bay offensive line, which is the best offensive line in terms of pass protection, in the league, do the job against San Francisco's very mediocre pass rush. And I think it's going to be really hard for San Francisco to play good defense. They're going to have to try to turn the ball over, be disruptive. And I think weather's going to play a factor. We don't know what it will be. We're 7 days out, really, from the game. But I think that's it. San Francisco has to do exactly what Chicago did. Control the ball for 36-plus minutes. Have a really good ground attack that can keep the Packers off balance. Because the Packers' defense really struggled to cover the Bears' receivers last weekend. I think that's going to be the key. And look, Brock Purdy's going to have to up his level of play. He ran with the football yesterday, but there are a lot of times where there's too many bad plays that go into what they do, and they're not able to really get that running game as dominant as it's been in the past. So I think this number's going to tick a little bit further. I think it's never going to get to three, but I think there's going to be money coming in on Green Bay, because when people realize that San Francisco hasn't played well, I think it's going to lean everybody towards Green Bay.
You know, you look at the Packers the beginning of the year when they lost Jordan Love after week one loss down there in Brazil to the Eagles, feels like a year ago. I kind of felt like LaFleur, you know, they made a trade for Malik Willis right after the preseason ended. You're talking about like overpaying in New York for backups. I felt like that move really saved their season, right? Kind of held it together until Love could get back. What do you see that LaFleur is doing? Maybe it's not pretty all the time, but they figured a way to patchwork this season together.
Yeah, I mean, look, to me, they're vulnerable when they play against physicality, right? I think to me, that's been what they've struggled with when they play against a team that has real physicality to them that, you know, they can do. Look, I thought the Bears played as well as they could run the football, had really good balance, short passing game, and they didn't turn the ball over. I mean, they didn't turn the ball over, which is what the Packers defense has relied on. But they've got such really good skill players. I compare Green Bay to the Oklahoma City Thunder because they've got great skill.
That is our Lowe's game of the week. When we come back, step into the office of Michael Lombardi.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on a Monday edition of the Lombardi Line, Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi. And Michael, this is one of the things I look forward to the most on a Monday, because it is time to step into your office. This is presented by Morgan & Morgan. We know that winning an NFL division game on the road, it ain't easy. Firing a coach midseason? Hard. Hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. So if you're ever injured, you can check out Morgan & Morgan. They've got, it's America's largest injury law firm. They've got over 100 offices nationwide, more than 1,000 lawyers. Submitting an injury claim with Morgan & Morgan is so easy. If you're ever injured, you can check out Morgan & Morgan. Their fee is free unless they win. For more info, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law#529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets or #law#529 from your cell. This is a paid advertisement.
The appointments are lined up.
You waiting for somebody in there?
Got an appointment.
And it's not about what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
It's not personal. It's strictly business.
It's time you and me had a private talk, winger. Step into my office.
It's Step Into My Office with Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now.
All right, Mr. Lombardi, you've got an MVP knocking at your door. It's Lamar Jackson. Remember when Pedro Martinez said years ago that the Yankees are his daddy when he played for the Red Sox? Mm-hmm. The Ravens have lost 8 of 9 to the Steelers in the Lamar Jackson era. Pretty hard to believe. So Lamar's coming to the office, Michael. What do you have to say to the reigning MVP?
Well, I think the last games have no relevance on this. You're a different team now, and we have to stop talking about the last games. But I think more than anything is, now that you saw how Pittsburgh's going to defend you, you know, they're going to stop you from running the ball. They're going to set the edges on both sides. I think it's really important that the other players on the team take a step up and figure out what we need to do to defeat this methodology, right? I think a lot of it comes down to how do we have to play. Pittsburgh is always going to try to make you play left-handed. That's what they're going to try to do. They're very good, and you're going to have to break tendencies. You're going to have to do something uniquely different that fits within the framework of what you do, but it isn't going to look like what you do. And it's hard to do that at times. But I think to me, it's, you know, look, you couldn't. Peyton Wilson made an incredible interception on your throw, on that throw.
Yes.
Should have been caught. It should have been handled. Likely fumbles. I mean, I think to me, one of the things starts with the Ravens. Instead of focusing on why can't we beat the Steelers, is why do we keep beating ourselves? Why do we keep making the mistakes? And I think that's ultimately where this train has to arrive at the station, is we have to stop beating ourselves, and we have to come up with a way to do that and attack the Steelers' weaknesses and know how they're going to play us. I think it's a great lesson. Look, it's week 11. They told you how they're going to play you. Now you've got to react and play differently, and you got to focus on beating a good Charger team this week.
Yeah, they're going to have one more test with the Steel City kids. That'll be in Charm City. Could have the division on the line, depending on how things shake out. We thought the Niners were going to be cruising back to winning the NFC West, maybe back to a Super Bowl. They're 5-5. And Michael, they're the first team since 2000 to lose three division games that they led by four or more points in the fourth quarter. Kyle Shanahan is walking into the office. Michael, what's the advice today?
Well, you know it wasn't going to be easy this year. Anytime a Super Bowl team loses, the next year is always the hardest, right? It's always difficult, and the injuries have mounted. I think losing a lot of key critical players. I mean, Hargrave's injury this year kills you, right? You don't have Eric Armstead, who's obviously not the same player he once was when he wouldn't take a pay cut this year. The defensive front, I mean, let's be clear, isn't nearly as good as you need it to be able to operate the system. So I think ultimately this is just going to have to be a grind out type of season. I'm not sure that you have enough talent on your team to get over the hump, but you have to play at a higher level. And I think the biggest concern you have is, can you get Purdy to play at a higher level? I think Purdy can operate when everybody else is operating. But when Purdy has to extend his game, there's really not enough talent. You know, Al Davis used to make me go through every team in the league and count out how many first, second, and third round picks were on those teams. And he wanted the number to always be above 31 on his team. So that meant it didn't matter who they were drafted by. He wanted pedigree. He was looking for pedigree. And I think when you break down Brock Purdy, the reason he's Mr. Irrelevant is because he doesn't have great pedigree, doesn't have a great arm, doesn't have great size, all those things. And I think ultimately he can't enhance anyone. The other players around them have to. And unfortunately, the team isn't quite to that level. I'm not sure McCaffrey's at that level either, because he's got such good quickness, but does he have that same burst and explosiveness, which I haven't seen yet? I don't know if he still has it or if it's just the injury, but I think you're going to have to play a different style. Look, the one thing I do know is you're going to be in a lot of close games.
Yep.
No one's going to blow you out, and you're not going to blow anybody out, because you're just not explosive enough. To me, I think you're going to have to figure out a way how to get faster on offense. And I think that's the biggest issue. When you were always at your best is when you could play base offense with Juszczyk in the backfield and Debo and Kittle and Ayuk and McCaffrey, and all of a sudden they had to play base. And you were too fast for them in base. And then they went to nickel. You were too powerful for them against nickel. And that advantage hasn't manifested itself this year.
This is going to be an interesting one, because Shad Khan is knocking on the door. But we're going to hear from Doug Peterson. Now, Shad said before the year, this is the best Jag squad ever assembled. They're now 2-9. They lost yesterday to the Lions 52-6. Let's hear from Doug Peterson first. And then I want you to address what Doug says via Shad.
I can't control that, and you know, listen, I've been around this league a long time, and you know, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen, obviously, but at the same time, I still have a job to do, and
look, I think to me, Doug Peterson Shaw has already resigned. He's already given up. He knows what's coming next. You don't really have a decision. He made the decision for you. Just look, he's a defeated man. He knows he can't win this. He knows he can't answer the problem. And so all you have to do is just try to get through to the next remaining games that you have. You just got to get the boat, as the great Robert Irsay once said to Rick Venturi, we just got to get the boat back to port. That's what we got to do. We just got to get it back. No matter what it looks like, we just got to get back to the harbor. That's what you're going to have to do here, because Doug's given up. I mean, just look at that, man. He's defeated. He really doesn't want to work on the next game plan because he knows it's not going to work. I mean, that's a defeated attitude, which is true. But this is year three of his program, and you expected to have great things. Fortunately, you didn't hire you didn't hire Byron Leftwich, right? You didn't hire Adrian Wilson to be the general manager. That was a good move. But then you doubled down and hired Doug, which wasn't the right move because your program needs toughness. Your program needs somebody to come in and run for it. I think you made the right decision with Urban Meyer. You just picked the wrong guy. You picked the wrong guy. It's no different than what the Packers did years ago when they had Tom Brotts and Lindy Infante running their team. Mm. It was a good decision to do what they did, just the wrong people. Then they hired Ron Wolf and Mike Holmgren. They got it right. And I think that's what you need to do is figure out, go back to the model that you wanted to use, hire somebody as a head coach, let them come in and run the building, whether it's Bill Belichick, Mike Vrabel, Kirby Smart. I don't know who it could be. But let them run the building. Let them set your organization up where it's the right way. Because let's face it, all this losing that you faced through your entire career, no one's taught you how to be a good owner yet.
We don't know if Doug Peterson will make it to the end of the year in Black Monday, which is traditionally the day when teams make their firings. But we know that we've got a Black Friday special here at VSiN the day after Thanksgiving. If you sign up now for VSiN Pro Access, all the way through May 1st, it's only $60. So you get everything we have here to help up your betting game through, obviously, the Super Bowl, March Madness, all of it. So visit VSiN.com/subscribe. Sign up for a Black Friday special now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. I got to see if Antonio Pierce makes it to the end of the season. We believe he will. Replaced basically everybody in the offensive coaching staff. Brought in the Turner, Scott, Norv. Didn't exactly work out. 19 points, a little bit better, but they still get blown out in Miami. 34-19 loss, sixth in a row. Michael, what do you have to say to Antonio Pierce on this Monday?
I marvel that you got a head coaching job. I marvel at it. You never called defenses. You really have never proven that you weren't a successful coach in high school. I marvel that you were able to con your way into getting this head coaching job. The fact that you were able to get this job over Jim Harbaugh, who was once a Raider coach and clearly could have been had. He could have been had and come in and save the Raider fortune. But because of your ability to be political and your ability to win, you got the job. But the problem is you can't do the job. I don't even know why I'm talking to you. Like, it makes no sense. I mean, there's no chance you're going to win there. You know, and you have the Raiders have no choice but to make a coaching change at the end of the year. You've gotten worse. I mean, think about this now. You know, after you became the head coach, you smoked cigars in the locker room. Everybody was happy. But now the team's worse than they were last year. They're worse than they were last year. That's on you, right? You can fire Luke Getsy. You can fire everybody you want to fire. At the end of the day, you're going to get fired. Now the defense is worse. That was the strength of the team. Defense was the strength of the team last year. But because there's nobody in the building to control what's going on, and Patrick Graham is going to do what he wants to do, and no one is there. See, the little untold secret was last year that Josh McDaniels really helped Patrick Graham. Mm. In fact, Patrick Graham knew that, you know, but nobody wants to give McDaniels any credit. And I'm not trying to, because he failed at what he was trying to do as well. But to me, you and I having this conversation, when really I have no idea how you're one of the 32 gentlemen who's a head coach in the National Football League, blows me away.
My under, alt under win total 5.5 is looking pretty good, Michael. Only two wins here for the Raiders through 10 games. When we come back, going down to Beau Rivage, checking on college football with Carl Johnson next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We continue the Monday conversation here on the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi here with you. We always love on a Monday. Michael, we're talking a lot of things, of course, NFL. But college football, a little bit wild, certainly down south this weekend. And for that, we go back to our guy, Carl Johnson from Beau Rivage, as the sportsbook director there, joins us in the Progressive Guest Line. And Carl, I do want to start down there in the Bayou with LSU and that loss to Billy Napier in Florida. And what is it like down there right now? Because I know people are screaming, going, we got to make a coaching change. Is Brian Kelly really in jeopardy down there?
Yeah, you know, I mentioned it last week. You know, I thought he was, maybe in jeopardy a little bit. So I reached out to some of my guys that are in the heart of it, the news information down there. You know, and they made a good point. There's a difference between, you know, fan unrest and being in the hot seat. And, you know, I think you guys were talking about it earlier. You know, he's got like a $70 million buyout, and that's playing a huge part of it. But look, as far as the game, I mean, they're trying to replace, you know, defensively last year, they were horrendous. They've actually improved a little bit on defense this year. I mean, they've improved from giving up 408 yards a game last year to 364. They're giving up 147 rushing and 25 points a game this year. But, you know, it's just hard to replace Daniels, Malik Nabers. You know, offensively, you know, they're just not getting it done. They went from averaging 46.4 points a game to probably what was college football's best offense last year to now where they're at now. And that's why we're struggling a little bit.
Carl, the big game this week, and I'd love to hear your take on it, Indiana, Ohio State in the horseshoe. Yeah. What did you open the line with? And I know everybody's got to be excited about this one coming up. I mean, I'm still not sure Indiana's for real, even though they proved to me they are for real with some of their impressive wins. But what's your take on this game?
I mean, wow. Yeah, what a great story, Indiana. You know, I think I'd mentioned a couple of weeks ago, they're actually ranked higher. When's the last time they were ranked higher than Alabama, LSU? you know, but we're going to open here, Ohio State minus 11.5, 52.5. Indiana has been getting some play here, Mike. You know, I think everybody's caught on in these last couple of games. You know, they've been able to you know, win for the fan base. So, we'll see. I think 11.5 is a little high here. I think you could probably get the same action if this game was a little bit lower, but we'll see. I kind of got to go with Indiana and take the points right now until they prove me wrong.
Carl, how are people betting Colorado these days down there? Because I thought they were really impressive with their win against Utah. Big win, put up, what, 49 points in that win, cover the number. How are the books making out down there, Beau Rivage, with Colorado? Because I got to imagine maybe people are starting to follow the story and follow Dion and showing up at the window.
Well, to be honest with you, we're getting hammered with Colorado. I mean, we've been losing every week with Colorado. I mean, what Dion and those guys have done down there. I mean, they've covered 8 in a row now.
Wow.
Yeah, they're eight and two, and they're covered 8 in a row. You look, Shador's he's got 27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. I mean, Travis Hunter, I mean, this kid is playing, you know, he's playing 140 something plays every game. You know, their skill set is so good. They're making up. And one of the things too, they brought in this guy, Livingston, for their defensive coordinator. I mean, this guy's, you know, between him and Warren Sapp, they've really improved defensively. You know, they were giving up, 453 yards a game last year. They got that down to 357. They were giving up 176 in rushing last year. They got it down to 138. And the biggest difference to me is they were giving up almost 35 points a game last year, and they've got that down to just under 23. So with their skill sets, with the way Shadur's playing, Travis Hunter, and the rest of those skill players, you know, they're able to outscore their opponents right now. And that's, it's been huge, and the public's been all over them. They're 7-3 to the over, which is, you know, public likes the favorites and they like the over. So we've been getting hammered with them.
You know, Carl, is it me, or is the, like, there's certain things that are, seem strange, like the Colorado, nobody seems to want to adjust to their wins and how well they're playing and how offensively they're so dynamic, and defensively they've really played well. I mean, they dominated Utah from start to finish in that game. But it's the same thing with the Jets. Like, why are people betting the Jets when they're not good? Last week I was an idiot and bet the Browns and they're not any good. Like, it just doesn't, are we waiting for, like, I mean, I think this is when the book makes the most money, is when we assume things are going to turn around and it never does.
Yeah, that's a great point with the Jets. I mean, that's one of my biggest disappointments too, is probably most people's. Mike, it's amazing that I actually believe that they're betting the Jets every week, you know, because of Aaron Rodgers. I mean, they just feel like at some time or another, he's going to break out. But, you know, they just can't get there. I mean, that game yesterday, when they announced Richardson was going to be at quarterback, it moved from three to four, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts get there 28-27.
Carl, because I'm kind of sadistic like this, and you guys know this about me by now, I looked at the numbers for the NFC South, and I saw the Saints, after a second straight win with Darren Rizzi, they're 28-1 to win the division. Now, they've split with the Falcons, but if you watch the Falcons get dismantled by Denver, you kind of go, are they any good? Are you taking any action on this? Like, is it a plausible scenario that this division is not done? Because the Falcons, I'm not laying 350 with the Dirty Birds to run this thing and win this division.
Yeah, I mean, look, so we took early money on the Saints, to be honest. And look, great story what's going on the last couple of weeks. I mean, sometimes it's just the message, right? Sometimes you just got to make a change, get somebody in there that just delivers the message maybe a different way. So he's obviously got those guys, you know, backing him. You know, I don't know if he'll stay there, but the last 2 weeks been really good. But we took early money on the Saints before the season start. We're not taking any futures right now. We're not getting any of that action. They are being bet every week, you know, just because of where we're at. But our liability in that division has been with Tampa Bay. Oh. So, you know, look, I would love to see the Saints make a late run here, and I'd like to see Atlanta hang on. So, but we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, Atlanta hang on 38-6. If you're a Super Bowl team, do you lose that badly? I mean, seriously. Yeah. I mean, Right. Maybe you might want to think about drafting some defensive players. I don't know. Just a thought. You know, maybe you don't need a backup quarterback. Maybe you need a three technique or somebody like that. Just a guess. I don't know. How about tonight, Carl? How about we got the Houston Texans, who really haven't played well? They're a good team in a very bad league. Let's put that in perspective. They're not a great team. They're a good team in a bad league. As you know, when you have 12 teams that have three wins or less, the league isn't very strong at the bottom. But they're playing against one of those bottom feeders. Excuse me, Dave, for calling your team that, but that's the reality. What's the action on your team? What's your action on this game tonight?
Yeah. Mike, look, we're going to be needing the Cowboys. That's it. That is so unusual for us to have to say, because more often than not, we always need them to get beat. But, look, I mean, they just they are probably the biggest disappointment in NFL football in a long time. They didn't do anything in the offseason to improve themselves. You know, they got a running back that was, you know, look, I think sometimes I could get in there and do a little bit, you know, and I know that that's not the case, but that's just how I feel. So, you know, people are on to the Cowboys. They're not betting Dallas. We're going to need Dallas tonight. The Texans are -7 and -41 right now. And to be honest with you, I don't know if Dallas can score, but it wouldn't surprise me if the Texans don't get there by themselves.
Got to ask you really quickly, what was it like Friday night for a Mike Tyson fight at Beau Rivage in 2024? Because I know I fell for it, Carl. Yeah. I put $50 on Tyson by KO, and that was Michael.
You did not, did you,
I
David?
Did, Michael.
Oh, David.
Even after we said on the show, you got to bet Paul via decision, I fell for the trap, Carl.
Well, look, I was in the sports books between 88 and 90 when 87 and 90 when Tyson was in his prime. It had that feeling. I mean, it was really good to see. The only thing you didn't see that the only thing that we seen this year that we didn't see back then was cell phones and fur coats. I didn't see any cell phones or fur coats, but we were absolutely packed and everybody had a Tyson ticket.
I said it when I went to the window too, guys. I went, this is a Michael Lombardi St. Jude's pick. But I wanted to be on Tyson in case it happened. Carl, we always enjoy the conversations. Thanks for hopping on Monday with us.
Thanks, Carl.
Take care, guys. All right, Mike. You guys have a good one.
Great stuff, as always. Michael, we got a lot more
to get
to.
David, I'm so disappointed in you. David, I'm disappointed in you.
I did the square peg and tried to fit it in the round hole. It didn't work. More NFL Texans and Cowboys next here on the Lombardi Line. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you want to bet the ponies, we got you covered at First Bet, Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, all the way to the Derby, the Preakness. All you got to do is sign up, firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSiN200. Claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com and do so today. Back alongside Michael Lombardi, Dave Ross here with you as we wrap up this edition of the Lombardi Line. I bet on the wrong horse on Friday night. And Michael, you would have been and should have been disappointed in me because you and I talked it out on Friday and we said the play is Paul via decision. You know when you get wrapped up in history, Michael, and you just want to see something like you're turning back the clock. I knew I was dead 45 seconds into that fight. I was like, what was I thinking?
It was a nostalgia tour. I mean, yeah. Dave, how was it? You know, I've read so much about it. I didn't watch it, but how was the Netflix in the, where were you at? Were you at Circa?
I was at Circa. I call it the other Circa. I'm here downtown by Fremont Street. They have another one at the Silverton Casino closer to my side of town here in Las Vegas. It was packed. Michael, it is a phenomenon to see the crowd come out for, yeah. And I'm listening to people that are there, some younger kids, they never saw Mike Tyson fight. And I heard them saying, like, this is the greatest fighter, like, of all time. I wanted to go, no, that's not true. But that's the nostalgia. That's what we believe. Yeah. And, you know, you hear this mythical creature, and then you see it play out as a 58-year-old guy. And, Michael, you go, this is kind of sad to watch.
He's 58. Well, they lure you. It's like what we get on highlights. When we watch highlights, you see Tyson hitting the bag and you say, yeah, wow, he looks incredible for 58. You think, okay, well, that's just the bag. That's one part of it. My question, though, was how was the streaming on Netflix at the Silver Hotel? Was it a problem?
No, and that's the difference. And I know Jeffrey Benson, who runs it here at Circa, if you came to, say, Circa or other sports books that were showing it, the stream, to my knowledge, was fine. It was great where I was. Never a hiccup. I saw the consternation online. That's a problem, man.
Yeah.
You're getting what, 40 million Tyson got 20 million, I think, for it. Paul got 40 million for it. People that are paying for the service, man, that's a bad look if that's what you were getting across the country. But it was a show, and it's why I think, I don't know that two things will ever die. As much as we complain or I complain about the NFL and the product, I don't know that the NFL will ever die, as many changes as we might see with the rules and everything else. I don't know that boxing will ever die. And I think it was evidenced by that on Friday night when you see the turnout and you see the way the money that it still generates. It is insane. But I wanted to get to your takeaways on this week 11. Again, one more game tonight that we'll get to with the Cowboys and the Texans. But what is your biggest takeaway? Because I felt like we got some good football, but some other points, it's almost like you can bet against bad teams and that can be profitable too.
Yeah, I think the league is finally, it's taken 12 weeks, but I think there's clarity now. I think that would be my take on week 11, is there's more clarity. The bad are bad. Like, you could say, well, Vegas coming off a bye week could go into Miami and give them problems. No, they can't, right? Mm. They're bad. They're a bad football team. They're going to stay bad. You know, maybe when they play against Denver this week or they play against the Chargers or a team that they have familiarity with, but they're bad. And I think there's so many bad teams that you have to be to predict that upset, right? If you're going to go and predict an upset, try to stay Seattle playing San Francisco in that division where it can be a little tighter and there's always going to be a little bit more. Okay, Cleveland this week against Pittsburgh, right? You know, will Cleveland give Pittsburgh a good game? Pretty much it will be. Will Pittsburgh win? You got to believe that. But that matchup is a little bit one I think you have to lean a little away from. But these random matchups where you see Carolina playing Kansas City, I mean, how do you take Carolina? How do you take them? And no matter how many points, is it 12, 13? Does it get to 14? It's like yesterday, you know, the Detroit, that number just kept covering it no matter what they did. So I think there's more clarity within the league than ever before. And because we have good teams, I mean, look, the number three seed in the NFC is Arizona at 6-4. I think they're just a good team. The number four seed is Atlanta. They're 6-5. I think they're just an average team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then the number five seed is Minnesota. They're a really good team. Green Bay, 6. They're a good team. Washington, I think Washington's found their level, right? And we're not sure about the Rams, Seattle, or San Francisco, because or Tampa, who's what? Tampa's 4-6. They're just, you know, they're 1.5 games out of first place in the South. And I think Carl's right to have that. So I think to me, when you look at it, and then let's go to the AFC, right? I mean, Denver's the 7th seed. Baltimore's a good team at the 6th seed. The Chargers are a good team at the 5th seed. I'm not sure Houston's a good team at the 4th seed, but they're the best team in a bad division, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Pittsburgh's just resilient. So I think the question is, can Miami, Cincinnati, or Indy make that run to offset Denver? I think that's the one. There's one spot left available, and I think it's Denver at 7. And I wouldn't bet on Miami. I wouldn't bet on Cincy. I wouldn't bet on Indianapolis either. I think, to me, Denver's just really good defensively.
You know, I'm looking at these division numbers, and you laid out the playoff picture perfectly there. And the one that I still find intriguing is Minnesota's 8-2. Their win total was 6.5. You cash that. I had an adjusted win total 7.5. That gets over yesterday. And they're only one game behind Detroit, and yet in the betting market, they're plus 425 to win the division. Detroit's minus 450, and I know they are a juggernaut right now. But they did lose Anzalone as well yesterday, yeah, too, right? Hutchinson's not walking through that door. I know Za'Darius Smith looked pretty good getting his first action yesterday. Is there any danger? Because remember, Minnesota was a first down away from beating Detroit when they played them and lost by 2. Like, are we overlooking the Vikings still?
I think they're probably a little undervalued.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. They weren't even a touchdown favorite yesterday, which to me seems strange. I think there's that Sam Darnold effect. Yeah. I think it's booked in here, you know, because everybody's waiting for Darnold to become Darnold that they remember when, right? And I think Darnold has become a good player. I really do. I think his talent, remember we talked about pedigree in the last block? I think Darnold has pedigree. You can see it. He's got a lot of things you love in terms of arm strength, his athleticism. Look, his decision-making is certainly sometimes goes off the rails, but you cannot deny his talent, and you can't deny that Kevin O'Connell's a really good coach. You know, I think to me, that's the issue. I think they're a good team. Look, if Minnesota was in the South, they're much better than Atlanta.
Right.
They're a more complete team. Who would be the favorite when Minnesota played Atlanta on a neutral field? It would definitely be Minnesota. Atlanta's fraudulent. They can't rush the pass. I mean, we haven't talked about this whole show today, but Bo Nix will look sensational.
Yes.
Bo Nix looked really good yesterday. Bo Nix looked good. Finally, Caleb Williams looked good. Jaden Daniels has kind of regressed, but still looks good, you know. And Drake May is inconsistent, but looks a lot better. So there's four of those guys that got picked. We don't know about Penix because he's on the shelf. We won't get there, and J.J. McCarthy's been injured.
By the way, to your point, Michael, and great call, by the way, with the Broncos laying the 2. That was never in doubt against the Falcons. Bo Nix, major shift here in the Offensive Rookie of the Year category. Jaden Daniels is still the favorite, but it's been chopped down. He's minus $4. Bo Nix is now plus $3 as the second betting choice, and everybody else feels like a long shot. By the way, you want to look at Caleb Williams, 40-1 right now to win the award. So Bo Nix is the big money mover there in that market. I want to get to our best bet, Michael. It, of course, is brought to us by GBank, the official bank of VEASAN. Let's get into tonight's game here with the Cowboys and the Texans. I know we talked about maybe the offensive issues here. Cooper Rush is going to be at the helm. We don't know about CeeDee Lamb. Total has ticked up a little bit from 41 to 41.5, and the side has come down from 7.5 to 7. What's your read on what Mike McCarthy can possibly do to try to get a home win? Because I don't know how you keep your job. As much as I love Big Mike, if you don't win a single home game all year, they've yet to do one so far this year at AT&T.
Well, I think you got to play from in front, right? I know that sounds really simplistic, but this team can't play from behind. We've seen that, right? You got to try to get that opening drive. You got to play with some energy, and you got to get in front of this team. Look, it's going to be a challenge. Stingley's a really good corner. Will he follow CeeDee Lamb everywhere on the field? I don't know, but he's a good player. And this rush is going to create some problems for the Cowboys' offensive line, especially on the right side of the Cowboys' line with Will Anderson coming off that corner against Steele. I think that's going to be the issue. Can they hold up? Can they protect Cooper Rush? Because Cooper Rush is going to need to put 6, 7, 8, 9 plays together to score. And it's hard to do that, right? And be consistent when your execution isn't very good. It's why I look at rushes and completions after every game, because that tells me what is your execution as a team. How are you practicing? Does practice execution become game reality? And for the Cowboys, that hasn't been the case. So I think the work's cut out for them. And look, they've got to get, I think really for Houston, they've got to get Mixon going. They've got to have play action. They've got to run Mixon. You can run against the Cowboys. I think that's going to be the key. Who starts this game out fast is going to be the winner, and that's why I think in-game betting here, don't be shy. I think if whoever starts fast has a chance.
The G-Bank Visa Signature Card is your best bet. It does offer and delivers 1% cashback rewards on eligible gaming transactions, 2% cashback rewards on all eligible purchases. For more info, head over to Visa.com/G-Bank. That's VSIN.com/G-Bank. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. Michael, great stuff on a Monday. As always, my friend, can't wait to break it all down tomorrow, what we see tonight. And we have got...
Talk to you later, David. Thank you. Good luck for the Cowboys. Don't bet them, Dave. Do not bet them, please.
I won't.